The children can be dismissed. If there's a nursery worker, they can go to the nursery. We've visited last week about fasting. And I want to say a couple of things about that before we go to our text today, before we preach to you a little bit about prayer. Fasting is a spiritual cleansing and preparation that beckons God's plan for your life. It beckons God's plan for your life. In other words, it says, God, I'm preparing for your plan. I'm saying I'm ready. It's your declaration that you are expecting God to move. Devote yourself to fasting and prayer, and God will bless you. He will bring answers. He will bring restoration. You have, I just want to say this, you have specific needs, specific desires, things that you, they're only, they're personal to you. They only apply to you. And you need to pray and fast for those. I can't fast and pray for all of your needs. I can ask God to help you. I can ask God to bless you. But until you get serious, until you say, God, I'm devoting myself to this. I'm looking for your blessing. I need your blessing. I need this answer. I need this restoration. And you get serious, it's not going to happen. You're going to go through this fast time and come out just like you were on the other side of it in 21 days. And wonder where God's at. God's right where you left him at the beginning of the fast. When you humble yourself in fasting and prayer before God, he turns situations around. When you humble yourself, he can cleanse you of that sin that entangles you and rid you of the garbage hindering you from seeing his way and believing his voice. He can bring the answer you've been waiting for and replace judgment with blessing. There's some people, and I could name some today, that feel like they're always under judgment. Well, I'd encourage you to fast and pray, receive the answer you've been waiting for, and receive the blessings of God in your life. He's a blesser. I know he's an awesome God, and he's going to bring judgment one day, but you're called by his name, and he wants you to walk in blessing. Blessing's not always money. Far from it. Most people want to say that, well, I'm blessed because I have this or I have that. I'm blessed because I have peace. I'm blessed because I have joy. I'm blessed because my family's not in turmoil. Regardless of how much money I have, I'm blessed. Brother Hurst, and I very seldom use that name, but he used to say that he could serve God living in a tent. Maybe we need to learn to be that humble, that we say, God, I can serve you. Regardless of what I have, I'll serve you. If it means losing everything I've got and living in a tent, then I'll serve you. It means being broke, hopeless, helpless on the side of a road. I'll still serve you. We need to get to that place. Let's talk about prayer today. Our main text has been, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Found in Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 31st verse. Our secondary passage has been this, Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse. A threefold cord is not quickly or easily broken. And so we're talking about the second cord of that rope today, and that's prayer. You can fast, and that's a good thing to do. But if you don't add fasting with your prayer with your fasting, you're probably spinning your wheels. Have you ever been on a slick spot, slick piece of mud or wet grass, and you put the pedal to the metal, so to speak, and you tried to pull off, and all you did was just spin? Well, that's kind of what it'd be like when you fast, but you never bow your knee. You never bow your heart. You never set aside any time to communicate with God. You're just spinning your wheels. You're not getting anywhere. You're probably not going to receive the answer you need. Prayer is what changes things. Fasting humbles you and brings you into the presence of God, but we need prayer. Prayer, one man said, is not a device for getting our wills done through heaven, but a desire that God's will be done on earth through us. Too many times we are looking for our needs, our will to be done, and God to show up, show out, and bless us in a special way, when really what we need to do is humble ourselves and say, God, not my will, not my way, not my things, but your will, your way, and your things. We forget that. It's all about me. I need a blessing, Lord. I need some help, Lord. And I'm not going to say there's nothing wrong with needing help and there's nothing wrong with needing a blessing. There's never, at times we get to that place, it's, you need this help. But I'm talking to a church that's on a 21-day fast. It's not all about you. It's about humbling yourself before a mighty God to receive what that mighty God has for you by subjecting yourself to His will and His way of doing things. Say, Lord, I'm here. I'm yours. We sing these songs. We even sing the songs, I bow down and we never bow. Lord, help if I was to bow in front of people and pray out loud. Somebody might hear what I'm saying. Somebody might need to hear that you're not all that. They may need to know that you struggle. They may need to know that you need help. So it helps them understand that they're not alone in their struggles. So prayer's about getting close to God. Let's say, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then I wanted to go over to Jesus' model in that same chapter of prayer. In chapter 6, starting with verse 5, Jesus said, and when, I didn't put that down, Brother Stephen, but it's right there close. You probably already got it. Nope, just a pretty picture. Chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 5, says this, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, and they may be seen, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner therefore pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. But Jesus goes on and adds something there. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. He tells you all these great things, and he talks about the petition that you have, six petitions here as you pray that should occupy our prayer time. Three that are concerned with the holiness and will of God, and three concerned with our personal needs. But then he ends it up with this warning. You must forgive. Wow, a lot of Christians need to reread that. They need to apply that. They need to practice that forgiveness. Jesus told his disciples, they when they asked him, how many times do we have to forgive? He said, you have to forgive 70 times. 70 times in a day, or 70 times 7, he said. And they said, in a day? He says, absolutely. Every day? You betcha. 7 times 70. How many is that? That's all, only 490 times in one day, one person. I don't think there's any one person can sin against you that greatly that you'd have to forgive them 70 times 7. If they are, they're a pretty bad person, or you're just, wow, that's just bad, isn't it? 70 times 7. So, but he wants your prayers answered, and you're harboring unforgiveness, forget it. Forget it. Until you pray through, until you get right with God, forget it. It won't happen. It ain't going to happen, church. We have to pray through, get to the place that we can where we can adhere to and obey the Word of God. We have to do it. So he says, this is what you got to do. Now, the brevity of this prayer doesn't mean that you should just pray 2 minutes, nor should you necessarily pray 3 hours. But there's a time to pray, there's a time to weep, there's a time to laugh, and there's a time to really get serious with God. And I am convinced, and I know this for a fact and from my own prayer life, that there's not a lot you can do in 5 minutes. You ain't going to do nothing by touching your knees to the carpet and up and out the door. But preacher, I'm praying all the time. I pray as I drive down the road in my automobile. I pray at my job. And I don't doubt that you do that, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. In fact, as the Bible says, pray always, or pray without ceasing. Over 1 Thessalonians, it said, pray without ceasing. So you ought to pray all the time. I understand that. There's a prayer in your heart, there's a song in your heart, and you pray. But there is a time to get serious with God, and that's not that brief prayer that you pray while you're concentrating. I know you can multitask. I know most of you are good at that, because some of you can pray, and you can drive, and you can text all at the same time. But I'm going to tell you something. It's time to get serious with God and set aside that time that Jesus called your prayer closet. Go shut yourself up, shut that door, and if you can't do anything else, turn you on some good gospel praise music. Or maybe some worship music, not praise. Praise gets a little exuberant sometime. But get you some music. And begin to pray and seek God. And I'll tell you what'll happen, that music will begin to minister to your heart. And God will begin to bring a song back into your heart. And God will give you things to pray about while you're listening to that music. It'll jog your memory. It'll cause your spiritual man to rise up, and it causes him to be great. He'll bring things into remembrance to you. And sometimes you'll get to praying and you'll forget what you're saying. And sometimes you'll just start making groanings. Oh, God. God knows what that is, because the Holy Spirit's beginning to speak through you. Sometimes you speak in an unknown tongue and God is speaking through you. Other times you just make groanings. You just groan before the Lord. If you've never got to that place where you just groan before the Lord and you're just letting the Holy Spirit work through you and minister to you and you pray and unto Him, you hadn't prayed yet! It's more than this, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. Bye, Jesus. See you in the morning. It's more than God is good. God is great, and we thank Him for this food. Amen. My granddaughter, 3-year-old granddaughter, would say, "You want to pray, Grace?" And she said, "Yeah." And she'll go, "How?" She go, "Thank you, Jesus. Amen." It's more than that. That's cute, but you're not cute. You're not 3 years old. You're adults. Some of you are teenagers that should be weeping and crying before the Lord, saying, "God, show me what your will in my life's going to be." Some of you adults have never done that. You've made your own way. You've been your own boss. You've driven your own car. Maybe it's time to, as Carrie Underwood said, "Jesus, take the wheel." Come on now. It's time to pray. Jesus said, this is how you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven. First off, your prayer should start with some worship of Him. He's God. I know there's times you're in crisis and you got to get past that real quick and get to the crisis. I understand that, but I'm talking to people who are fasting and praying, or should be. People are seeking the will of God. People who are trying to submit themselves to the will of God and bring their bodies in subjection and their lives into subjection to the things of God. And I'm talking to people who should be practicing prayer on a daily basis. This is why I said you start your petition with worship of God. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. See, all the praise and all the glory and all the honor belongs to God. By one passage, if there be any virtue, there be any praise, there be any glory, there be any honor, it belongs to God. It belongs to Him. So He says, because God loves us and God cares for us, God, He welcomes our fellowship, He welcomes our intimacy, we should begin our prayer with that intimate time of fellowship with God, saying, God, You're my Father. God, I love You. I worship You. You alone are worthy of my praise. You alone are worthy of my... And I begin, when you do that, you begin to bring your body, this physical man, this flesh man, into subjection to the Spirit of God. You're crucifying your flesh. That's the problem. That's why we don't pray. Because flesh says, later. But yet flesh will turn on the Steelers Bengals game and sit there 4 hours enjoying every hit, every coach running out on there and punishing players, every drop pass, everything about it we'll enjoy, sit there and stay up till late to watch it because it edifies the flesh, your flesh. Some of you don't like football, but you like Western. Some of you don't like Western, but you like the soap operas. I mean, what my whole point is this. We'll sit in front of that one-eyed monster, and we'll sit there for hours just like. And we'll find two or three different shows, and we got a remote set where we can go to click them back and forth. Well, there's a commercial. Let's go this one. Go back and forth and back and forth. But yet we never take that same amount of time and seek the face of God. But yet we expect God to move. And we come to church and, oh, isn't Jesus good? Yeah, He's good. But what do you know about it? Preacher, you're getting ugly, aren't you? Well, if that's how you take it, that's just how it is. I ain't trying to be ugly. I'm trying to make a point here. We spend more time in our secular activities and expect God to move than we do in our spiritual activities where God would move. Where we could touch the heart of God. We're too busy watching TV or reading a book or riding a four-wheeler. Whatever it is, we're too busy. And I know you got to work, and I know you got to take care of your animals, and I know you have family time. I'm not against any of that. Fact is, I want you all to work. Amen? Don't you want everybody to work? I want everybody to work. I want you to have family time. It's important. That's as spiritual as anything. There's things you should do. But don't neglect God. Don't neglect God. And that's a problem. He says, hallowed be thy name. I got to hurry. You know, y'all know how I am. I'll say that and I won't finish, but I'll try. You see, our Father, God, He's holy. He's hallowed. He's holy. And that's what that means. Our Father in heaven, holy is thy name. He's a Father of holiness. And He opposes sin. He'll not tolerate evil. Even to those who name Him as Father, He still will not tolerate evil. He's holy. And you know what He'll do? What He can do? Sometimes He does. He punishes us. Because we refuse to live for Him. And we say we have been born again. And we are Christians, but yet we don't obey Him. So He's like a good father. My dad was a good father. He would punish me. And I didn't grow up a mass murderer either over it. He'd beat me with a belt. Never did beat me black and blue, but he made me cry a lot. One time I skipped school. One time I got caught skipping school, I should say. I skipped more than that. I got home, and he got home early. He'd been driving a truck. He was hauling gasoline at the time, and he wasn't supposed to be home till 5 or 6 o'clock. He got home about 2. School called. I was out with some guys. We'd went down to the North Canadian River and shot guns. And I got back. Well, school's out, so we come home, and I walk in the door. I said, son? I said, yeah, Dad. How's school today? Oh, Dad, it was good as it can be. You know, I don't like school, but it's pretty good. I said, oh, really? I said, what'd you learn? Well, I never learned much, Dad, but I don't know. I learned something. So I'll tell you what I learned about it. What's that? You weren't there. I knew when I seen that truck parked out there I was in trouble because he was home early. He said, well, I ain't going to whip you. I thought, all right, I'm going to let the school do it for me. Oh, shucks. We had a principal named Pee Wee Williams, vice principal. He stood 5 foot tall, and his paddle was as long as he was tall. And that's the truth. So I put newspapers down my pants. He said, take them out. I mean, I knew I was going to get a whooping. You get punished sometimes for your stuff, for your indiscretions. Pee-wee said, bend over, grab that desk, Dennis. That dude, he can hurt. He lifts you plumb off the ground. He didn't hit me just once. It's about 3 or 4 times. You know, you're 15, 16 years old, you ain't going to cry. Not at school. But I guarantee you, big old tears welled up in my eyes. I wanted to cry. But he didn't catch me skipping again. Didn't say I didn't skip again. I said I didn't get caught again. God has to, my point to all that was this, not just to make you laugh. God sometimes has to punish us because he loves us. But if we'll pray and seek him and hold his name holy, he won't have to punish you. He can bring the blessings. It says, hallowed be thy name. So Psalms 34, verse 3. Brother Stephen, you have that? I think I do. Well, 1 through 3. It says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. My praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name forever. When you really get close to God and you begin to realize what God is and who God is to you, you will exalt his name. You will tell people about Jesus, and God will begin to bless you. I am glad for the blessings of God. So we need God in our life, don't we? We need to reverence him. We need to honor him. We need to glorify him. We need to exalt him. And that comes through our prayer time. And when you're really praying, I think real prayer by a real church will change the atmosphere in the church service. And when you come to church and you've been praying, then nobody has to pull anything out of you. It just flows. When the songs begin, it flows. When the preaching happens, it flows. When you begin to pray, it flows. When you have a need, it's met. Because we've been seeking God. Not just at church for a few moments, but during our own personal prayer time, we are hallowing, we are holding God's name up in prayer. We are reverencing him, honoring him, glorifying him, exalting him, living for him in our daily walk. We are very concerned about his reputation. I want to tell you something, church. If you ain't living for God, you are putting mud on the reputation of your God. Come on now, you say you're a Christian, you ain't living a Christian life, you're messing things up. He's holy, and he's concerned about you. But we need to hold him up. We need to make sure his reputation is of the highest reputation, because we are living for him with all that's within us. We don't want to do anything to bring scandal to his name. Nothing at all. And he's had enough scandal brought to his name by so-called Christians, so-called preachers. Now, we all make mistakes. I understand that, but we don't need to be doing things that will bring scandal to his name. And let me go back to this. When you enter your prayer closet and you pray in secret and you're really praying and seeking God, you will not do things that bring scandal to his name, because the Holy Spirit of God will stop you. The Holy Ghost will check you. He'll put a damper on that. When you're really close to God, it's easy to live for God. When you're really praying, it's easy to shun the very appearance of evil. It's easy not to gossip. It's easy not to slander. It's easy not to lie. It's easy not to steal. It's easy not to commit adultery. It's easy not to commit fornication. It's easy to live for God when you are searching for God and seeking God in every area of your life. Makes a difference. Little prayer brings little results. Anyhow, let's move on. It says, "Thy kingdom come." We should be concerned about the kingdom of God. We are part of the kingdom of God now on this earth. The Bible teaches us that we are not of this world, we're only in this world. We're part of the kingdom of God. Now, his ultimate kingdom is coming later. When Jesus comes and takes the church away, and then after a few years of tribulation, 7 years the Bible says, then the church is going to come back. Jesus is going to set up his kingdom. And of that kingdom, there'll be no end. That's his kingdom. We should pray, "Thy kingdom come," but not just that kingdom that was coming later, but that his kingdom would rule and reign in our lives now. Why is our nation in shambles? Because we have too many people called by the name of Christ that aren't living for Christ. Simple as that. Too many people compromised. Too many people not walking in holiness. Just wanting to do their own thing. Live it their way. Say, "I'm a Christian." Why is it when you go to most 90% of the... Well, I've never preached one that I put anybody in hell yet, because that's not my job. But I've been to a lot of places and a lot of funerals, especially when I was working with hospice. And I would go to the people's houses and they'd say, "I don't want nothing to do with God. I don't want nothing to do with Jesus." And I'd go to their funeral a few weeks later and that preacher would say, "They are now in heaven." And I'd make me so mad, I'd want to go up there and strangle that preacher. You say, well, because I was in the Holy Ghost, I didn't see. It makes you angry. Because they're telling everybody in that crowd who knew that that guy was a drunkard, who knew that guy was unfaithful to his wife, who knew that guy was a flathead cusser and didn't have nothing to do with God, they're letting everybody know there that it's okay to do whatever you want to do. You're still going to go to heaven. Well, that's not true. You got to be born again. Even in born-again Christians, sometimes we let down. I understand that, and we have to ask God to forgive us, you know. Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John wrote that in 1 John to the church. And so I understand that, but I'm going to tell you, church, this ain't somebody's trying to live for God. That's somebody said, "I don't want nothing to do with God." And they say, "Oh, they're in heaven." They'll read that scripture in John 14, said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And you know, brother John there, he's in heaven today because Jesus went and prepared a place for him. You got to live right. That's ugly, I know. Sounds ugly. You must be born again. You have to be. So, his kingdom's coming, church, but it must be within us now. We need the spiritual presence. We need the manifestation of God in our lives now. Paul said it like this, if we walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We need the kingdom of God in us now so that we will fulfill God's will on this earth. He's coming after us one of these days. And I can't speak for you. I can speak for myself, and there's some things I won't tell you about myself. I tell you too much already. But there are times in my life at 62 years of age, I wonder if I'm going to heaven. And that ain't because I'm out there being ugly. That's not because I'm sinning. It's just simply, I guess, that human reaction, that frailty. I wonder sometimes, and I think, man, if I don't know whether I'm going sometime, now I believe I'm saved. I believe I'm going to heaven. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes I go to my knees and I say, God, I need to know for sure. I may have thought something I shouldn't have thought. I might have got angry over something I shouldn't have got angry over. And I go back to the throne of grace and say, hey, I want to be right with you, Lord. I don't want to miss it. So, well, you shouldn't have to do that. Well, maybe I don't have to, but the Bible didn't tell us to confess our sins for nothing. So when I make a mistake, I ask God to forgive me because I want to stay right. I want to be a part of His kingdom now, but more importantly, when that trumpet sounds, I want to be catapulted into the eternity with Jesus in heaven. I want to be caught away. Or if I'm in the grave, I want to burst that dirt right off of me. Come up out of that ground. It's going to be good, isn't it? We're part of His kingdom. He says, thy kingdom come. Then thy will be done. When we say that, we're saying, I sincerely, Lord, I want your will to be done. I sincerely desire that your will be done and your purposes fulfilled in my life and in this earth. We need to pray, thy will be done, Lord, not mine. See, we sometimes get more concerned about ourselves than we do God. But let me tell you this. If you'll get concerned about God, God will take care of you. Paul didn't write, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, if it didn't mean it. It's what he wrote. He did. He said, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He wouldn't wrote that if it wasn't so. It's so. So we need to be concerned about God, about His will, and then He'll take care of us. Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow is sufficient of itself. He also said, have you ever considered the sparrow or the lily of the field? Neither one of them work. Sparrow gathers food and God provides it. The lily is the most beautiful flower on the earth and it doesn't do anything to attain that. It just happens. He said, and you're more precious than that lily that withers, any grass that would wither, and a sparrow that flies in the sky. I'll take care of you. I'll meet your daily need. Now, that's paraphrased, but that's what he said. Don't worry about that stuff. I'll handle it. Trust me. And we need to understand that we can trust him. Look at Romans 8, verses 1 through 8 for just a minute. We need the Holy Spirit leading our hearts. We need God's will to be done on this earth as it is in heaven. In Romans 8, chapter 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So he said, thy will be done. We need to be walking in the Spirit. Supposed to be Spirit-led men and women, aren't we? I think so. So don't walk in the flesh, walk in the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and the Spirit the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death. So we're to say God's will be done, but yet we're walking in the flesh. It ain't going to happen. That's why we need prayer. To keep this flesh, to bring this flesh into alignment with the will of God. So His will can be done. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And then let's go to, I'm going to stop there because I'm running out of time. It says verse 8, for so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 14 says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We need to be led by the Spirit of God so that His will can be done, so that His kingdom can come. His will be done. Then is our prayer, next petition should be, give us this day our daily bread. So we pray about that. We say, God, I've petitioned you. Lord, I've called you holy. I've hallowed your name. I've said, holy is your name. And I've talked to you and I've worshiped you and I pray that your kingdom would come not just later, but right now in me. Lord, I have need. I have a need. I need fed. I need my daily needs met. And He says, pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Sufficient is today of itself. Take care of me today, Lord, and I'll keep trusting you. Maybe I'll be in want today, Lord, but I'll still trust you for tomorrow. I'm going to trust you because you're God. I've learned that you're God. I've submitted myself to you. I've crucified my flesh and the affections of my flesh. I'm not carnally minded, so I'm going to trust you to meet my needs. Church, Sister Stone and I, we've been living for God. We've been married for 43 years. We were raised in church. I've been in church all my life except for just about a year. I got away from God right before I got married basically, and right after I got married, I got away from God for a little bit and then, got back in 1974 probably, in 73, late 73, early 74 before my oldest daughter was born. So I've been living for Jesus straight through for 40 years, almost 41, 42 years now. I've learned that God supplies. I've learned that He's never fails. That I've always had food. I've always had shelter. I've always had clothing. I've always had transportation. I've had a few dogs. I've had a cat. I've had a horse. I've had a few cattle. I've had things I've wanted. God always supplied my need. And then He gave me some wants. God's good. But I've learned through it all that He gives me my individual needs for every day. He takes care of me. Back in about 81. I couldn't give you the exact dates now. Denny was probably 5 or 6 years old, 7 years old. Man, I was driving a truck, and one winter it hit. It was a cold winter. Cold like it was today all about for weeks. And snow got on the ground, and I couldn't move my truck out of its tracks. I finally got something to do. I was going to lease it out to trucking companies because of what I was doing wasn't working right then. I needed some money. I needed to work. And, you know, that winter we played, I don't know how many games of Scrabble we played that winter. I don't know how many times I took them little bitty miniature trucks of my son and rode them up and down the hall with him and played with him in the living room on the coffee table with them little trucks. And just family time, because I couldn't get out of the house and didn't have no work. I got ready to lease that truck out. It wasn't lease worthy, but I was going to put it on the road because I needed to go to work and hadn't found a job. And I went out there to start that truck. All the fuel run to the wrong side of the tank, the side that it didn't draw out of. It wouldn't start. It sucked air. When it sucked air in that diesel truck, it wasn't going to start till you got a mechanic out there to help you get it fixed. Because you know what? My whole point of this whole story is this. Through that all, not being able to lease that truck, not able to get it out of the driveway, fuel in the wrong tank, having to call mechanics out to help me, not have the money to pay them, end up, we never went hungry. We didn't miss a payment. We didn't miss a house payment, a car payment. The kids had clothes. We were able to keep the heat on, the lights, everything. And I didn't work for weeks. Why was that? Because God supplied our daily needs. And when the weather got better, I got something to do and I went to work. God took care of us. Now, I wasn't out of work, guys. I just couldn't work my truck, okay? I wasn't just laying around because I was too lazy to work. I was trying to work, but I couldn't work because of the weather. And God took care of us. He takes care of your daily needs. And then he says this. I got to hurry. I didn't use all my scriptures probably just as well. Give us our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Do you know we're all part of Satan's enemy? He hates you. You're an enemy of Satan. Did you know that? The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But yet we serve him anyway. We let him lead us astray anyhow. Isn't that silly? He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so he says here, when you pray, say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So help us overcome the evil one, Satan. So we should never forget to pray for deliverance from the schemes and the power of Satan. He's out there as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says for you to resist him. But before it said that, it said submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Do what I just said. Pray, seek God, serve God, and then you can resist the devil. If you're just trying to do it on your own power, you're probably not going to succeed. You're not going to be a happy Christian. Well, you can't be. Do you like sinning and feeling bad about yourself? I don't. I like to feel good. Even on our best days, sometimes Satan buffets you and he comes against you and you don't feel good about it. But when you know you're an overcomer and you know you're overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony and you know you've been praying and seeking God, then you can feel good about yourself, about your relationship with God. So I'm encouraging you today to pray. So you got special needs, pray. Satan's been buffeting you, pray. Seek God. He'll deliver you. He'll meet your need. He'll take care of you. One old song says there's power in prayer, power to spare. All that you're looking for is waiting right there. A little faith, a child's prayer, and it's so long despair because there's power, so much power in prayer. And that's the truth. There's power in prayer. Y'all don't want me to read that next scripture, do you? How many of you are harboring unforgiveness? Don't raise your hands. I might ask you different. How many of you have been hurt by somebody at one time or another? Still don't raise your hands. You may be sitting next to them. That shoe fit, didn't it, Amanda? We have all been offended. We have all hurt somebody. We've all done something that we needed forgiveness for. And we've had things done to us that we needed to forgive. If you want anything from God, you want to see His kingdom in your life, see his blessing in your life, see his favor on your, over your life, have his anointing in your life, you're going to have to forgive. Your prayers won't reach this ceiling if you don't forgive. Until you ask forgiveness, your praying is just of no use. There's power in prayer, but there's also power in forgiveness. Jesus said it, and if he said it, it must be so. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wow. That covers a lot of things. Aren't you glad for grace? I'm glad for grace today. We have to forgive. We must be ready and willing as a Christian to forgive. And sometimes we struggle. Depends on the offense. Sometimes it just depends on what day of the week it is. What do you mean? I mean it depends on what mood you got up in that day, whether you want to forgive or not. I'm the only one who has bad days and good days? No, I'm not either. Some of y'all get up on the wrong side of the bed too. Sometimes it's difficult, but Jesus didn't say do it when it's easy. He said, forgive, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive you yours. He didn't make any allowances for a bad day. Your hair didn't fix right. The car broke down. He didn't make any allowances for that. He said, you have to forgive to walk in his blessing. Church, we must pray. We must seek God. We must live for him. With every fiber in us, we have to live for God. But it starts with fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer. You may not join us in fasting. Maybe reasons why you can't. But you ought to join us in prayer. Men ought always to pray and not faint. Prayer still changes things. Amen. Stand with me.